Hey everybody, welcome back to Moscow. Welcome back to another episode of the Moscow Mules. I'm Shay Bowes, joined, as per usual, by Augie. Now, this week we're going to start in the United States of America. We feel we haven't been given enough attention to our American friends recently, so we're going to start with you guys this week. But we're going to start with something that Augie and I, to be quite honest with you, have no idea is about. The 67 meme. Now, maybe someone in the comments, right, will explain to us what it means. It can't be Trump's presidential number, right, Augie? 67, is it a year? It's not 69, right? Augie, inform me of what that is.
We're just too old for this, Shay.
I'm getting too old for this. And it is Gay Pride Month, so I thought, Augie, you might be getting a little bit of a jab in there. But no, we don't know what 67 is all about. So we're counting on you guys to unravel the mystery for us. Because the official White House account is actually posting this. Now, it looks like some Hunter Biden got behind the controls of the White House's social media, right, at the moment. It's absolutely insane, the they're posting. But this one... it's a little bit bizarre. We don't get it at all. Roll the video, Augie.
67.
67. How do you do, fellow Zoomers?
67. Okay.
Now, you might not get it either. We don't. But one thing we do know is when the wool has been pulled over our eyes, right, Augie? We feel that all of this type of stuff is a bit of a distraction. You might remember a few weeks back, increasingly a lot of weeks back, we were being told that this war of choice in Iran, you know, the war that closed the Hormuz Strait, which was open before the war, you know, that one. We were told that it was going to be over in days. Then we were told it was weeks. Then it was months. You know, we got to come back to the, you know, how's your 3-day war in Kiev going on? Yeah. How's your 3-day, 3-week, 3-month? We're getting there when it comes to Iran. The Americans went in, no plan, and their only plan now is to try and distract you guys from the reality that this is a complete show. And that's kind of demonstrated by when the big Don, our pal, was asked, right, Augie, you know, do you think you might have been a little bit duped by your friend Bibi into this war in Iran? The answer is very, very telling. Very interesting stuff. Run it, Augie.
What do you say to people who claim that Bibi Netanyahu tricked you into going into Iran?
Well, they're just, you know, the enemy. They're just, you know, the Democrats, right. The UN. These are Democrats. These are people that don't know what they're doing. They want men playing in women's sports and they want open borders so the world can pour into our country, and they want transgender for everybody, surgery, and they want transgender mutilization of our children.
So how is any of that, Augie, riddle me this, how has any of that got anything to do with the question the girl asked? You know, masterful kind of political stuff, right?
Just trannies.
Trannies, down the trannies. Kind of sounds a bit like Gus, in fairness. Well, Augie, you know, whatever about the big Don dodging the bullet, pardon the pun, he's done that a few times at this stage, on the question about Israel, you can't argue with him on what he's saying about the Democrats, right? Dudes in dresses, the freaky sports, the shared toilet stuff. He's not wrong, is he?
That's right, Shay. He is not wrong. Just this week, the New York authorities have have renamed Mother into a gestating parent. That's how mothers are officially called now. And father is a non-gestating parent.
Hold on, so New York no longer calls a mother, it's a gestating parent. That's in case it was a mentally ill woman who cut off her bits, then gets pregnant with another fruitcake to make this exceptionally happy, balanced child. And they don't want to call it a mother because they would be offended by that because they consider themselves to be a man. So they're all just f***ing mentally ill people tinkering with the fabric of human existence, right? Does that cover it?
It feels like Americans are stuck between really rough places now.
Yeah. So you're right, Augie. I think right now Americans are in a lot of trouble. You're either getting it in the ass, or you're getting to have to stick your head up someone else's. Because it doesn't matter which side you're playing, the red or the blue, it seems you're going to war anyway. You're going to go to war somewhere. There's got to be a war because it's got to satisfy the Israeli lobby. You got to satisfy the weapons builders. You got to satisfy the, AIPAC dudes. You got to satisfy everybody who's in money because you need $1 billion to get elected to be president in America. Remember that? Yeah, check it out. That's a fact. Now let's leave the USA behind and head for another U, the United Kingdom. Now, you know, there's probably not a less united place on earth right now than the United Kingdom. The Scots want independence. The Irish are in a majority. They want independence. They want the top half of our country back. Yeah, maybe. So we can put more refugees in it. That's another day's work. The Welsh have just elected a nationalist leader. So there is no unity in the UK. And there's definitely no unity in England, a place which is basically coming apart at the seams. Huge ghettoisation, cities like Bradford, massive discontent among the indigenous English. Huge popularity for reform and restore Britain. It's gone down the for the UK. And it was defined probably most horrifically by the killing of a young kid called Henry Novak. Here he is, stabbed with a Sikh ceremonial blade, a dagger. And what actually occurred was he was stabbed, he was dying. The guy who killed him rang the police and said, "I've been attacked in a racially motivated assault." This is a Sikh guy, Indian guy, who murdered this kid. And when the cops arrived, they handcuffed him as he bled to death. He was claiming he couldn't breathe. He was telling them he'd been stabbed. The cops actually said, "I don't think you have, mate." This is just the bottom of the pit when it comes to two-tier Keir's UK. Augie's put together a little video which is going to show you the two sides of the coin now. It seems that if you're white and British, you can't fly the Union Jack, you can't have an opinion on the mass immigration that's screwing the United Kingdom or the disunited Kingdom. It seems to me that the British establishment under Keir Starmer is as deluded as it's ever, ever been. And it's not going to get any better. And people like Henry Novak, sadly, are bled pale and die. And you can see it on the camera here as this terrified police force, as soon as they hear racism, they're straight down on the white guy. It looks very bad and it's going to get a lot worse in the UK. Run the video, Augie.
Oh, I'm Brit.
Put the hand in the cuff, mate.
You can hear this kid saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe." You know, and this has kind of sparked a kind of a Rodney King, a kind of a George Floyd kind of vibe now in the UK. Where are the politicians and police officers kneeling down for Henry Novak? Where are the, you know, the institutionalized businesses coming out for this Pride Month? The gays and the transsexuals and the gender benders get a month. How about a day where people reflect on what's actually happened in the British cities and what's actually happened to the British people? And of course, in the Starmer Fuhrer's UK, you got to have someone to blame. There's no way that Starmer Fuhrer, who's probably delighted all this has happened because it's taken the heat off his massive defeat in the local elections, losing over a thousand seats, a complete wipeout of the so-called Labour Party, the fake socialists in the Labour Party, wiped out. So this comes along and he has to find someone to blame. Now, I hear you say, who's first? Let's have a look on the list of people to blame when anything goes wrong in the West. Yeah, of course, Russia, the Russians, somebody who's friendly with the Russians, someone who went to Russia. Yeah, there's also one more. And this is a favourite in the UK. Our old pal, Elon Musk. Yeah, let's have a listen to the Starmer Fuhrer immediately blaming Elon Musk for having an opinion, which 90% of the time he's absolutely right about what the show that's happening in the United Kingdom. Yeah. Mr. Keir doesn't like anybody speaking out of line. And that's evidenced by probably 30 people a day getting arrested. Check the table for posting shit online. Forget about the Soviet Union. Jawohl, mein Führer. Run it, Augie.
We need to also assert who we are as a country, because Musk, again, has been interfering in our politics in the last few days, trying to whip up division. That is not who we are in Britain. In Britain, we are reasonable, tolerant people. When we have a terrible case like Henry's case, Henry Novak, we react calmly, as his family have done. When it comes to disgusting images on Grok, we take Grok on and fight, because that's who we are as a country.
What the f*** has an 18-year-old getting stabbed to death, handcuffed as he bleeds out on the ground, the cops ignoring him, telling him, "I've been stabbed and I'm dying." He actually died, this kid. What has Grok got to do with that?
It's because of those pictures, Jay.
Now, after the killing of Henry Novak, there were some small protests on the streets of the UK. And of course, the cops went crazy, clamped down very hard on them, right? This is terrible. You're not allowed protest against what happened to this kid, this 18-year-old. Across the channel, in their friend, the French, these flutering French, right? They win a football game, right? PSG wins the whatever league it was, okay? They win, kicking a ball around the pitch, and they tear the whole city to pieces. They're beating the shit out of each other. They're beating the shit out of the cops. They are burning the place to the ground. And that has become culturally acceptable in France, okay? Now, imagine this. Imagine this happened in St. Petersburg, Zenit, in a football game. Imagine that happened. This would be front page news across the Western media. Imagine it happened anywhere other than in Paris. In Paris, which has turned into an open-air sewer, as we have reported before, Augie and I.
Well, I decided to take a walk in Mr. Borrell's garden. And what I discovered there was anything but a floral tribute to the beauty of Europe. Surface of Paris, you see that it might be called the City of Love because so many people are getting screwed there.
Can I sit beside you?
Yes, you don't. Okay.
Now, while I was making the acquaintance of this Bangladeshi man who'd been living on this mattress for over a year, one of the other residents of the camp got a little nervous and decided to convince us to take our leave, with the assistance of a hammer.
It's okay. We will stop. No. It's okay. No. Okay.
This has become the norm. And let's not sugarcoat this. It's the immigrant communities. Oh, no, please, bend me to the cross. Yeah, it's the immigrant communities that are at the dead center of this antisocial behavior. Burning hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars. New Year. Your grandmother's birthday. You transition into a leptard. Whatever. You go out and burn the place to the ground. I just wish they'd do a better job of it and go and burn one building in Paris, Macron's house. Why don't you start there? Run the video, Augie. You see, tearing apart a beautiful city, a central culture in Europe, this is not normal. This is not okay. And what else is not okay is pretending in Brussels that you've got migration under control. Pretending, talking about numbers. What else is not okay is the Spanish leader, Pedro Sanchez, suggesting he's going to legalize 500,000 illegal immigrants, give them passports and let them roam around Europe in the streets. This is not normal. Check out the border, the Spanish border. I think it's in Gibraltar, if I'm not mistaken. Look at this. It's like a final scene from some apocalyptic movie, right, Augie? It's absolutely crazy. Is this real? Is this AI? It's not AI. It's very, very, very real. And on the 12th of June, the EU migration pact is about to come in. And the people in Brussels who are allowing this to happen are going to tell little countries like Ireland and everybody else, Spain, Italy, France, exactly how many people you got to take into your country. You don't take them, we fine you. Oh, Jesus Christ. Apocalypto. Here we go. Run it, Augie.
Oh.
It's like the whole border. It goes on and on.
It's insane. It's insania. Insania. Now, you see the border, right? Literally crawling with migrants coming into Europe, the European Union. Absolutely crazy stuff, right? Now, one country, correct me if I'm wrong, Augie, was really holding the line regarding illegal migration into Europe, and that was Hungary. Great country, lovely people. Spent a lot of time there. Love Hungary. Hello, all my Hungarian friends. They got a new boss in town. And that new boss, Peter Magyar, is now the darling of the European Union. He tries to pretend he wants to keep this, keep that, but he needs the money. And because the EU had its foot on the throat of the cash flowing into Hungary, he got elected. People had enough. They wanted to see improvements in the hospitals, the roads. Well, now, but part of the deal is he's got to take the 30 pieces of silver and he's got to now very conveniently do exactly as he told on migration, on defence, on Ukraine. He's got to become Ursula's boy, a little pat on the head for Peter Magyar. Now, check out what he's been doing with his time, though, which is most interesting. You'd think this guy would be immediately getting stuck into the business of government. No, he's been poking around in the toilets in Viktor Orban's office. A bit like a German politician getting the old tongue around the rim. Remember that, Augie? The old toilet brush. A bit of that going on here. Now, Peter's not a man without any controversy in his background either, which I've reported about too. Check him out. Going in to a bathroom and looking around for signs of corruption. All this money that Viktor Orban stole. Now, of course, they have no actual evidence that Orban did anything wrong. So he goes into a toilet, takes a camera and starts looking around. And he manages to find some cheap old gold paint. Check it out. $9.99 in the f***ing hardware store. That's all he found. He actually went in and started looking down the bowl. This is called scraping the barrel. The shit barrel. This is embarrassing, but they're getting very good at that in the new government in Hungary. Yeah, remember the dancing halfway? This is even better. Run it, Agi.
Sokat beszéltünk a kampányban a mosdókról, aranyszínű WC kefetartókról, szappantartókról és arról, hogy hány millió forint közpénz ment el. Megmutatom nektek egyet így személyesen is, csak hogy nézzétek meg.
I mean, just a clean bathroom. Compared to what Ukrainians have been having.
Különböző haveri cégeken keresztül, itt vannak a aranyszínű.
Look, a white clean toilet. The horror.
Pathetic. Of course, nobody wants to talk about the golden toilet, which is in Kiev, or the 67 toilets in Buckingham Palace. Or the 15 palaces that King Charles has, or, you know, I could go on. Now, here at the Moscow Mules, you know, we've embraced AI with great vigor, okay? Augie actually doesn't look this slim, hasn't lost a lot of weight. We're just AIing him up, you know? I actually, you know, have got a little bit of a tummy and I haven't, you know the hairs. And, you know, what you see can deceive you. So we've created, given the toilet obsession, which we seem to have on the Moscow Mules, and Mr. Magyar definitely has, we've created a little slideshow imagining what European leaders' toilets actually look like. Now, look out for Mr. Macrolion at the start, who features very strongly. We'll talk about him in a moment. Run the toilet video, Augie.
And check the next one, Shay. There you go.
Ah, I like it. Well, speaking of old Macrolion, an interesting lady has come to Russia and she's been at the St. Petersburg International Forum. This big forum, people from across the world coming to isolated Russia. And Candace Owens has been really surprised by what she's found when she came here to Russia. The people, the culture, the religion, the beautiful, architecture. It's all been surprising. Now, yeah, I've heard it all before from most people who come to Russia, objectively. And guess what? I did a little video about was the attack on Candace. What was happening to anybody who dares to come to Russia?
You know, it's quite remarkable to see the attacks on Candace Owens in particular, and anybody else who's turned up in Russia to try to work towards peace, which is insane. Think about how crazy that is. Anybody that tries to, build bridges between Russia and the other great powers, anybody, an individual, anybody at all, you come along, you want to meet, you want to understand, you want to do kind of diplomacy, which is what everybody, if you like, in the West should be doing, in Europe should be doing, people like Kaya Kallas, they should be, you know, doing diplomacy, talking, finding the common ground, understanding people. But instead, everything is cut off.
We got a little message from Candace. It seems that here at the Moscow Mules, we got a new fan. Check it out. Yeah. Candace thanked us for, you know, pointing out that anybody speaking out or talking sense is immediately cancelled or nailed down, which is, you know, of course, that's a fact. We all know that. But nice to get a little message from Candace. Hello to you, Candace. I hope you enjoy the show. Mm-hmm. Now, to wrap up the show, we got a very, very interesting little nugget from the St. Petersburg International Forum. Now, every year, Mr. Putin kind of winds up the conference with his plenary session, and everybody, the world watches while Vladimir Putin says at this big, big meeting. You know, it's fascinating to watch. One particular thing, Roy Augie, that he said has been picked up by the boys here. What would you say? What would be the first thing you would say to Vladimir Zelensky, the narco-fuhrer, if you were to sit down and meet him to, you know, end the war in Ukraine? And what Mr. Putin said was absolutely fascinating. I'll let you see it with your own eyes. Run the video, Augie.
Что касается того, что можно было бы друг другу сказать, если мы дойдем до окончания конфликта, как минимум можно и нужно было бы сказать, слава Богу, что все закончилось.
Well, of course, we want the war to be over too. Who doesn't? What sane person wouldn't? You know, it has to end. We hope it ends sooner than later. But one thing that isn't going to end, even if the war does, is you're going to have to take your medicine once a week, Sundays, same time, same place, from myself and the rear gunner, Augie. We're not letting you away that easily. War or no war, yeah? We know. We know you need it. We know you need it. You know you need it. So until then, stay safe, look after each other, look after yourselves, and we'll see you same time, same place next week. Take care.